And this time on Culture File, precision farming. The farm is hardly the first location to fall to the latest wave of automation and datafication, but could it be the most apt place for some upgrades? Possibly, says our regular tech soothsayer, Professor Aislinn Kelleher, with a few caveats.
Farming, has always been about precision and crop yield and knowing how much milk each particular cow gives. And I think, you know, because the margins are so thin on that, farmers have for generations been using as much kind of data that they could collect from the natural environment to help them make decisions. Since the 1980s, drone technology, or kind of what has become a drone, other types of unmanned aerial vehicles, have been used to kind of plot and understand land use. And that's been going on. I think farmers have really kind of leapt on any of these technological innovations, everything from obviously from the first tractors came along, but to what you're seeing now with trying to make sense not only of the data that they can collect, but big data in general. And I think we're seeing some really tremendous innovations here that are going to be really necessary in quite turbulent times ahead. If we're projected to have a population of 9 billion by 2050, the assumption is that we're going to have to grow our agricultural output by about 70%. So given the amount of land and the scarcity of water and climate change, there's definitely a huge pressure on to begin to ensure the efficiency and the sustainability of the agricultural field.
Some of these innovations are really about just farming more sensibly. I mean, one of the big robotic devices is a weeding machine, which you think, well, that's very handy, it's about employment. But in fact, it's a kind of much more sustainable approach to tilling a field.
Yeah, I mean, the FarmWise are one of the big companies that have created these huge weeding machines as a service. Okay, they're so astronomically expensive. The idea is that a farmer themselves wouldn't have this, but they would rent it and that the team itself would kind of put to use in your field. What's interesting is because traditional ways of tillage or ploughing, it disturbs the soil, okay? So it denigrates the soil over time, but it also releases a lot of CO2 and then people start using as an alternative herbicides. But the idea with this, the kind of the growth in no-till farming, which is good, but it means more herbicide, is to come up with this idea of going back to the old-fashioned way, but of doing it at scale with a giant machine. So really what this can do is it's using computer vision and machine learning so the machine can distinguish between a weed and something that's part of your crop. So this idea is that it's not going to be as harmful as tillage or ploughing, and it will greatly reduce the amount of herbicide or pesticide that people need to use. You begin to see some interesting machines that have been developed to try and get at the human labor shortage problem. There's a company called Rubion who've created this robot that it sounds like it's such a niche area that it picks strawberries, but it's very, very clever in how it goes about doing that. It's able to tell whether the strawberry is, what stage of ripeness it is. So it's kind of like a just-in-time picker, and it has this very gentle little hand, 3D printed hand, that will pluck the strawberry. And some of their other innovations are very clever. Again, if we're thinking about trying to do something that's more sustainable, that uses less chemicals, they're using deep ultraviolet light as a kind of a way to deal with mildew on strawberries. So it's able to look at the amount of green light reflected from different types of leaves, and it can tell whether or not they have mildew on them and then treat it with ultraviolet light.
Another company is offering a kind of a fleet of drones for hire that will put your fields under observation.
I'm very excited about the drone fleets. I think this would look wonderful. I'm sure my uncles down in West Clare would think this is great on the farm. But one of the things I really like, there's a couple of startups that are not just using drones for surveillance, they're also using them for planting. So you can load up the drones with these pods that have both the seeds and the nutrients in them, and you shoot them into the soil. That sounds very kind of Star Wars-y, but there's something rather exciting about the idea of having, you know, you're the farmer with your awesome simulator thing back at the house, and you like launch off all these drones that shoot stuff in, and then the next fleet of drones goes out the following week to see where they are. Because of the aging of the farming population as well, this is not necessarily that all these machines are going to replace farmers. In some ways, it's to make them more efficient and also to reduce accidents as well and kind of the hazardous things that they might have to do. These technologies will hopefully greatly assist them in at least being able to work longer and kind of more in a way that's better for their own bodies too.
this is a problem that's been pointed out in America, and I guess we have a similar version of it here, in that the people who are working on the farms, the profile is aging, and therefore physically they're not as strong as young field workers.
Yeah, I mean, the farming population is definitely aging. Even within the United States, the average age is about 58, and it's projected in about 10 or 12 years probably to be up around 65, which I would imagine is kind of a global thing that's happening also. I mean, farming is a really hard life, you know, and so the idea that the next, this intergenerational attraction to it might not just have the same pull that it used to have. So yes, the farmers are getting older, they're having to kind of do more with their bodies. So I think we're also seeing wonderful innovations for exoskeletons, or the types of things that you might imagine an Iron Man wearing. But these are things that are originally developed primarily for the military, but they have tremendous use as well in the types of physical labor that farmers are doing, everything from lifting to shoveling, even just getting in and out of tractors, or the kind of the fatigue on your body from sitting in a tractor for like 8 or 9 or 12 hours a day.
Tell us what an exoskeleton is.
Using the analogy of Iron Man as one, but an exoskeleton is essentially like an apparatus that you can construct around your body that you can control either with your remote control or with different types of buttons. So in a sense, it's kind of will leverage for you so that you're able to lift much heavier things using a kind of a mechanical structure that is mounted around you. I mean, they're used in the military to facilitate soldiers using being able to carry very large and heavy amounts of gear with them. They can also help you walk in a kind of more efficient way for your body. And they generally will help with the kind of the day-to-day things like lifting is a big one. And that's something that we're also seeing as being looked at in Amazon or any of these kind of big warehouses where people are doing repetitive movements that can be quite damaging on your back, creating and kind of sculpting the body into an exoskeleton, which doesn't have to be hard. There are also soft exoskeletons as well. And Connor Walsh at Harvard, he's a fellow dub, he's doing some really wonderful work there in developing a whole manner of exoskeletons that are both for people who are able-bodied and also others who are kind of working around disabilities. One of the reasons why this technology is interesting for some folks is there is, particularly where I live here in rural Virginia, there is the sense that they're trying to keep populations in kind of rural areas. And one way is this type of technology does appeal to younger potential farmers as well, to think about you could actually not, maybe you could be a part-time farmer because the other, you know, part of your farm is like fairly much semi-automated or even automated in full. And it might be more attractive to folks to begin to think about the types of skills that they have that could be practiced in a farming environment are also scalable and generalizable to other technology contexts. So this idea of being able to control drones, for example, or to be able to manipulate really large amounts of data sets in order to kind of innovate and come up with more and interesting ways to use your land sustainably, use your land efficiently.
Professor Aisling Kelleher there from her desk in Virginia Tech.